Hi there, everybody. This is Michelle Denman. This Sunday, holiday weekend, and because this is the first show in a series of wonderful new insights and miracles that are coming forth at this time, I just wanted to give you just a little bit of background about me and my journey, since this is an introduction. When I was a child, I realized that I had very strong empathic gifts, or I'd say like gifts that were coming from my heart, but I didn't have a lot of understanding of really what was happening. I just knew that I had a very strong intuitive perception of the people around me, and that I could kind of sense people's thoughts and feelings, and I could feel their emotions very strongly. And I realized that even as a little girl, I was very what you call clairsentient. And as I, which is what would be called feeling, where you have sort of an empathic feeling always going on in your being, it's sort of an intuitive perception of a knowingness that's going on internally. And then as I got a little bit older, just into about age 6 and 7, is when I started to actually receive more visions and empathic messages that would be coming with actual visual representation. And this was alarming to me, and again, I didn't have any support or understanding as a little girl as to really what was happening, but it turned out that a lot of these visions became very accurate. You know, I would actually go and report to my mom different things or incidences that happened when I was a little girl. They actually turned out to be very valid. So I grew up just like anyone else would grow up and went to school and went to college and started my first job in the corporate world right out of college, having graduated with honors. And I was really drawn to the whole motivational success kind of journey. A lot of the inspirational speakers that were talking about how you could, you know, live a better life, make a better life, that kind of stuff. And so when I was just graduating from college, I had received a very successful job with a very large company in the pharmaceutical industry, because I really just wanted to help people, but I didn't really, again, have any sort of metaphysical or even spiritual understanding of really the path I was on, not consciously anyway. And so when I was just about 22 years old, I went into the pharmaceutical industry and began to work in training and development and helping people pretty much to, again, become a better person, kind of a sense of, you know, you can do it kind of attitude and self-empowerment and things like that. And what I found is that as my life was progressing in my early 20s and I had this great success and I was making a lot of money, I had reached this point of a real sadness or emptiness in my life just about a year into this career, where I was, you know, doing very well for someone at the age of 22 and, you know, making close to six-figure income. And there was this incredible sadness that was sort of permeating, and I was feeling that I wasn't really living my authentic self or living what maybe I was here to do. So in a process of journaling, I didn't have, again, any metaphysical training or background, and I did have some religious upbringing as a child in a more of a Protestant, Christian-based faith. But it wasn't anything that had been imposed on me, even as a child. So it was always a little bit of a freedom around what I could believe. And I actually voluntarily at times chose to go to church, you know, on my own even. But there was always a feeling, again, that there's something more. So in a process of journaling in 1992, I actually sat with a yellow pad of paper, and in a deep state of despair, I actually wrote a letter to God. And I had previously had just called off an engagement. I was going to be getting married, and everything in my heart said, I can't do this. And yet I didn't know why, but I had to follow it. So there was also a lot of sadness and just some things going on that made me feel really, really empty. So in that space, I wrote this letter to God basically saying that I wanted to live my life on purpose. I wanted to serve, you know, people, and I wanted to help this world in any way that I could. And I actually asked God if I could be of service, if there's any way that my life could be used for the greater good. And, you know, I wrote this and really didn't think about it too much other than it just came from my heart. And then little did I know, within a matter of days, miraculous synchronistic events began to take place. Like literally, I started being guided in a way that was so much bigger than me. And I began to listen to this guidance and again, completely just trusting what I was being shown and what I was being led to. And so it started at the beginning of going to like a new thought church and, you know, going into classes and Course in Miracles and things like that. And what was neat is that one event would lead to the next and lead me to the next person and lead me to the next person that was actually helping me on the path that I didn't even know I was on yet. And a series of teachers and different people started to come into my life and explain to me a little bit more of what they saw, for their vision of what my life was in their perception. And they said, you're a world leader, you're a world teacher, you've come here to help humanity and all these things. And here again, I'm about 22 years old and knowing that this is true, but it's also like, whoa, you know, what's going on? So I just kept staying with my heart, you know, with God, and trying to hold that innocence, you know, just not even really even knowing what that means, but I just felt it in my heart to just keep following the guidance, like the breadcrumbs that were being presented. So a series of events occurred, and I had started to feel a presence of very strong energies around me, and what one would call angels, or, you know, I was getting almost like apparitions happening in my own living room that were very, very strong, and they weren't subtle. They were very, very strong, kind of in-your-face energies and angels, and but beautiful, absolutely loving, beautiful beings. But again, me feeling a bit overwhelmed and almost like, what is going on here? But yet I knew that there was a mission that I was getting ready to embark upon. I just didn't know the details. But through visionaries and people that I met, you know, very early on, they said, you're being prepared for world service. And so as I went through this process, of course, I was still in the leadership training, and I was still working in a corporate environment, so this became, you know, not an easy thing. But I began reading a lot of books by Stanislav Grof. He talks about the holotropic mind and these different states of consciousness that one would go through in preparation, or one that's going through a change in consciousness. And literally, to a science, the things he was writing about, I was experiencing these very intense, ecstatic kind of energies that I would go into, like states of divinity and into these states of oneness. And then I would, be receiving all his information and guidance and get messages about people and all these things. And again, still just trusting, because there was always sort of a, I know, but I don't know kind of state. It's like, I know this, but yet I don't know anything. So I continued always in that sort of innocent state of, I really don't know, but yet I'm trusting. So as I read about a lot of these shamanic states and different perceptions I was having, and sometimes very difficult, it was not an easy path at times, and I had to go through a lot of cleansing. What I see now is a lot of like purging and purifying, and this went on for years and years. And so as the process kept going, I became more and more clairvoyant. I started to become more psychic. I started to get stronger visions as time went on, and even to the point of just, nonstop, all the time, just constantly getting psychic perceptions and images that it was almost overwhelming at times, because it wasn't so much that I was taken over, and that's not really what was happening, but it was so much bigger than me that I was just being kind of guided and led to this enormous energy that led me from one person to the next, and how these events started unfolding and taking shape and form. And I was also in a learning mode, wanting to learn as much as I could. So I, you know, would love to read things about from Yogananda, and that was one of the strongest guidances I received, is to read a lot about the Buddhist path and the path of the heart and about compassion. And, you know, I'd read about like things from Sri Aurobindo, and these things just resonated so deeply, like as if, you know, so familiar. So I continued on this journey for several years, bringing me to about 1997. And it was just always so much energy, you know, just energy constantly and always like revelations and things like that. And, you know, always feeling, but, you know, again, it was so much bigger than me, but trusting it, knowing it had a rhyme and a reason. So it was at that point that I had already started working with individuals and started to just kind of casually, not formally, but begin to assist people doing, they'd become like automatic past life regressions. I would get information about their current life. I would see their loved ones on the other side. I would, you know, get a lot of information for them. And that always would, again, prove to be accurate. They would often come back later and say, wow, what you said happened, or, you know, wow, I had this perception or this sort of process occurred after I met you. So I continued working with a lot of individuals in 97. And I was like, okay, it's time to make that leap, you know, really walking into this sort of as a full-time, where you do this all the time, kind of not just casually, you know, because I would be always led to meet people, say, on the street or things like that, but I had been guided to move out west by another synchronistic series of events, and then immediately moving to Arizona. Within 1 month, I had clients all over the world. Within 1 month, it was just huge, bigger than me. People were standing in line to see me and, you know, waiting for 6 hours to actually see me. And again, I was just showing up and I wanted to help. And the word got out very fast. And I, you know, living out there, didn't have to really advertise at all. In fact, didn't, because it was a nonstop referral system that began at that point. And so people were just coming in droves and coming, so many that, you know, at times I just thought, how am I going to, you know, sometimes I rarely had that thought, how am I going to do this? But there was just some of those moments of like, wow, this is a lot of people, you know, and it was, I just had this energy that just kept coming through, and I just kept, you know, letting it come through me and sharing it with people. So it became such a joy and such an innocence of meeting all these wonderful people. And I started to travel all over and teach workshops and did some television shows and had been taped, you know, with several programs and radio and things like that. And so this became, you know, full-time, even more than full-time. Really, it's been more than a job. It's actually been a life. It's everything I've given is has been of service since this time when I really gave my life over to God. And so I started traveling and teaching other people and meeting all these wonderful, beautiful people. And the beautiful thing about the journey is that there's by staying open and always remaining very humble and innocent and, you know, really being honest, what can happen is that you continually are led and there's more. It's like it doesn't have an end to it, and it's not finite. So it's not like a point comes where you're done or you've arrived and now you're this, you know, master teacher. I really don't believe in that, and that's my own personal opinion. I really believe that creation is so unlimited that we can expand continually and constantly, and there's always a greater depth that gets presented. And that's what I have found even most recently, how it just continues to grow and grow and grow into eternity. So one of the reasons I wanted to give a little bit of background is because this journey has, I mean, to me feels like a very long time, because so much has happened and I've been through so much, and the insights, you know, continually come all day long and, you know, very often. And I had to learn how to, you know, balance how much of the energy that would be coming in and to continue to still function, you know. And it's actually gotten easier as I've gotten older. But the beautiful thing about being willing to listen and to really, really listen, and that's the absolute key. And it does require a humility, because it's a sense of realizing that, yes, we could say we're all of it, but also at the same time, there's an innocence of that it is, we are this microcosm. And so what I I believe why I've been so taken care of and provided for, because I have been so taken care of and so provided for that anything I've ever needed has been given. I mean, it's always something there, even, you know, when I didn't know how, somehow a miracle would happen, or, you know, I've literally seen angels stop traffic to protect me, and I've had incidences occur that were just, you know, shifted on a dime in terms of bringing something of an aid or a benefit to any kind of situation. And so I would have to say that in being willing to really get quiet and really humble our heart is how I feel that the miraculous truly comes into existence and truly comes into our being, when we're really willing to truly organically listen. And when I say organically, is it's really coming from a purity. I mean, it's coming from an absolute pristine trust, and it's coming from an ability to be able to perceive what we don't know. And I really have learned, and I guess it's something that naturally occurred, but a sense that if we want something real, you know, something really real, then we really have to be willing and courageous enough to dive into the soul. And it does require bravery, because I can tell you that it can be enormously joyful and sometimes enormously like, what is going on here? Have, you know, I lost my mind. You know, those kind of feelings will come through you because, yes, you are being literally revamped. You are being made new. And it's always that humility to continually go back to what's true. And you can do that anytime, to continually go back to what is real. And that is not just in the world we don't see, but also in the world that we do see. And it is all here. And it's the willingness to really perceive truth and a willingness to be guided to what that would look like and what shape and form that would take if we just allow it. So it's really a getting out of the way and really allowing something beautiful and powerful to move through us. And that's where the magic is. I mean, the magic truly is when we realize that, you know, we may at times feel we're not, you know, expansive, or we may not feel it, but you see, the truth is that it's still there. So it's a willingness to allow a movement to happen, and it is about freedom, to truly be free. And if one is willing in that state of grace to reach the levels of what we'd say are true emancipation, you know, to truly be free, then the willingness to move through things and almost just feel into them. Because true clairvoyance or true sensory, what we call perception, it completely comes through feeling, and it's a feeling that's natural. So it would be a natural state and a feeling that you feel led to, but it would mean it would be something healthy, that it would bring you to something that would make you more alive. It would bring you to something that makes you feel complete and eternal, because of our true state of being eternal. But in that allowing of moving through everything and having the courage to face things and to be honest, because it is about being honest. And there can be a gentleness in all of it. I mean, it ultimately is to be, because it is ultimately all love. So in a moving in a gentleness through everything and being willing to learn is really important, because that keeps the humility and it keeps the humbleness through the process, because that is really essential, very essential in order to be pure or to really be working with what we call the Holy Spirit, or, you know, any name you wanted to put on that. But, you know, for me, it's the purity of that pure spirit of something, you know, we would call the Holy Spirit. And I have felt guided and protected my entire life by this spirit that, in some ways I felt, I'm trying to figure out how to put this in words. Because the guidance just kept coming and coming and coming, and I always felt the presence of this pure spirit, I had felt that, you know, my humility to that is, you know, of number one importance, to always realize the true light. And humility on that path of real, because, you know, we can get into this sort of realizing who we are and things like that, but at the end of the day, it's just love, which doesn't really have an idea. It doesn't have an attachment. It doesn't have even a, you know, a specific protocol. And so as we move into that pure state of being, you really do enter the miraculous. And it's in that state of just being willing with a humble heart to sit and be directed, that you're willing to hear. And when the instructions come that would say, go to the mall, because it can come as simple as that, because you're saying, okay, what do I do? And in the quietness, it says, go to the mall. Well, that's profound. That's profound. And it's imperative to act on any guidance that would come. And you can tell when it's truly coming for your highest good, because it has a feeling to it like, oh, I know I have to do this. So you would follow that, again, staying open and not projecting forward into what you think that is. What, you know, the minute we start projecting and the minute we go past that innocence, we've already lost it. We've already lost the connection, you see. So it requires a slowing down, actually requires to get quiet and to humbly follow what say you know, the call of the mother. Let's say that the Divine Mother has calling you and you're so busy or distracted doing something over here, how will you ever hear the voice that's literally welcoming you to grace, literally saying, come home? And you're fretting and worrying over here and missing that call. Because it truly comes as a call. And it's to allow the messages that come forth, and they will come forth in simplicity. They will start very simple. It's always, you know, what's in front of you, what's right in front of you right now, because that's it. Whatever is right in front of you, that's it. So you, again, in that quietness, it says, you know, go to the bookshop, you go, okay. So there may, you know, you don't even know what that means. You're just like, okay, I'm going to show up. And then again, you follow it. That's when the magic starts to happen. That's when the miracles start to happen. fast. You have to slow down in order for that to be real. That's absolutely imperative. And it's a hectic reality. In many ways, we could perceive it that way. And so to hold a state of presence, say it's the mother or any energy, whatever name you want to put on it, but presence would be, it's a quietness. I mean, it's a sense of being. And when the heart is fully open and the mind had quieted, now you're going to start to receive telepathic guidance. And so the way it comes through me is more what we call telepathy. I'm actually telepathic with the creators, with the cosmos, with the angels. I'm having a telepathic link because I actually have an ability through the service that I do to be like a communication system, of a, like a linkage. And that's the way I was designed by Creator in order to assist Earth. So I have a telepathic, you know, lineup going on where I'm in communication and able to, you know, send and receive, basically. So think of it that way. And so what happens is that when you're open, and some would call it a channel, you can use all kinds of words for it, but again, it's something that's very organic, very organic, is that you are saying, okay, show me, show me. And again, it can come so simply that, like, it might say, you know, or a feeling, my feeling might come, get up, walk across the room. I mean, and that's about it for the moment, but because there's more going on always. So to be clear, to truly be clear and hold that innocence, again, that's why the humility is so important, because, you know, you're allowing something to be. You're letting it, you see? So it's really tuning in and allowing yourself to be shown. And when you really deeply tune in and allow that process to happen, you will begin a whole new reality, a whole new world. And it may surprise you, but that is the path of wisdom. And the path of wisdom is one where you will have to walk through things so you can understand them. It's not given on a silver platter. That's another misnomer, is that I have had to earn everything that has been given. It has never been just, here you go, here's the keys to the kingdom, you know, go for it. Not at all. I have earned every ounce of energy or telepathy or anything. I have had to earn it. It has been arduous. It was not easy. I had to, you know, in some ways I had to, I don't like the word sacrifice because I feel in the new we don't have to do that, but in the ways of the world, you know, I had to forego a lot of worldly things, you know, for a long time to be intimate with Creator in a quiet space, because I had to kind of really go within. So, but I had to earn what, even the visions that I'm given, they don't just land on the lap. They're not just like, you know, here you are and now you're, you know, you're not the special kind of chosen one that is removed from suffering. I don't, that's not been my experience at all. And I really feel that to remain in that love space, it's that I experience so much that helps me empathically relate. And so, you know, I had to walk through what people would call the 3D world. I had to walk through, you know, going to college and working for a corporation and going through all the things that we go through on the earth, because that is the training required in order to be able to truly serve. There's a training that's required. There's an inner teaching that's going on the whole time. And so you're always being taught. It's happening all the time. And it's, the messages are always there. And it's in whatever level you're willing to accept, or whatever level you're willing to believe, because it comes back to your heart again, and that knowing that you'll be guided, knowing you'll be shown, and slowing down enough to be able to become more intimate with the light. Because it's truly a relationship, and it's the most important cosmic connection, is that you truly have an intimate, almost romantic life going on with creation. And then the beauty really begins to happen. The miracles, the wayshowers come out of the closet, you know, out of the woodwork. The divine synchronicities just become, you know, nonstop. And you continue to feel into reality. So it becomes, again, intimate, where you feel into reality. You use a feeling sense about the moment. And that's absolutely key, is feeling. And that's what an empathic connection is. And it is much more accurate because it's truth. And truth will always have a certain resonance. It's a sort of state of being or a state of resonance. And so if to keep, let me put it this way, to keep your vibration really pristine, that's also an awareness. It's required to keep your vibration pristine. It's really important to trust the guidance. And so, you know, you literally feel into the moment of, you know, where am I supposed to be? And your, what you call vibration or your frequency, will always be held in a certain state, but you're honoring always the choices. You're always honoring it. And then looking at it as in the way of a birth, because it's always a birth in the new. There's always, it's always new. It's constantly new because you're on the cutting edge. When you're on the cutting edge, it's always new. And it's always brand new, as if you're a baby being born again and again and again and over and over and over. So you're always birthing and always feeling new. And that's where the joy is. And that's where it becomes absolutely beautiful. Because now it's like a new day. It's a new day. It's a new dawn, you know. And you are on that cutting edge of bringing in the new. And that is essential to be a creator, because it must be fresh, alive, you know, born again, what some people use that term, but it's really about always feeling that magic. It becomes a very, very magical state of being, and this is where beings like Kuan Yin, you could call my Mother Mary, you know, these beautiful beings will then meet you, because you have to be willing to reach a certain level for them to be able to meet you, because they're in that pristine energy. So Kuan Yin is vibrating in a really pristine purity. And to be able to contact her or to truly connect with her, your frequency has to match, you see? And then she's just always there because you're matching with her telepathically. So it becomes a telepathic relationship, a marriage you're having with the angelic kingdom or with the heart beings or whatever resonates. But energies such as Kuan Yin, who are very, very pristine, they will require you to be honest, absolutely. It's a requirement to be honest. And it's a requirement to work in co-creation. So it cannot be your own agenda. And it will not be allowed, because it has to have a sense of a blessing and a gift that isn't just for you, although you can, you will benefit, but there's a magic in giving and sharing. Because at the very beginning, and there is no time, but I'm saying this for a reason, that at the end of the day, it comes down to what did we give? What did we allow? What did we share? And so the masters, such as Kuan Yin or Mother Mary or Katumi, Lord Lanto, these masters that work in creation, they require you to have gone through a solvency and the healing of the mind, because it's only way to be clear or to truly be able to receive is that you're open in a bigger level, and you're going to be willing to listen. Because see, people can be very stubborn and they beg and beg and beg and plead for guidance. And they're getting it, but they're like still keep running around and trying to get more guidance. So it's acting on it. You have to enact on it. You can't go on overload, which would be, you know, running to 100 people to get information. It's important you act on what resonates, you see. They will require you to act on it and not wait or not just keep absorbing. If you keep absorbing and absorbing and you don't give out, you're going to become very, very stagnant. And that's when atrophy comes in on an energetic level. And this literally affects your energy. You begin to atrophy because it's about movement. It's about fluidity. It's about flow. So when you're in an exchange with the what we call the masters or the angels, it's an exchange. So you're in a flow of energy in unison. And so because you're, again, you're working as a collaborator, think of it as a collaboration with heaven, and you're collaborating together, it becomes, okay, let's work together. Let's figure this out. And you're in a state of collaboration. And that truly is where the power is. Is if you're as a collaborator, knowing that, you know, you know that you need their guidance. You're not so big that you think, you know, you don't need them. And at the same time, you also have a sovereignty or a personal sovereignty. So it's an exchange going on. And it's a beautiful marriage that happens then with heaven. And the company of heaven, which is headed up by Kuan Yin and Michael and all the wonderful Lords of Light, the company of heaven does not want you to sacrifice yourself. They are not requiring that you give up your family. They're not requiring that you have to move across the country. They're not requiring that you have a loss. Not at all. They do not require you to be unhappy in order to do some slave job either. So the company of heaven wants you to be abundant. The company of heaven wants you to have a life. The company of heaven wants you to have joy. So when you're in collaboration with the true light, because there is, you know, very pristine light that you would want to engage with, which is the purest, we say the purest beings that assist creation. And as a collaborator with them, you will be very provided for. You will be very taken care of. You will have miracles happen and you don't know how. Your path will be very, very guided. And yes, they're saying there's a dedication. There is a dedication. There is a commitment. There's a commitment that we make. And we are willing to serve heaven. You know, we're willing to walk that path. But it is also that you are incredibly blessed in exchange. I mean, there truly is a blessing when you are a collaborator. And as a collaborator, yes, there are certain responsibilities. there are duties that are required, but it's, again, not up to you. You don't have to even know. You will be guided. You will be directed. You will know. It will come. Because when you're in that collaboration state and, you know, you, again, had made this willingness, because it's a willingness that's required to be willing and to listen, then messages will start to come. And it could come in the dream time. It could come, you know, the first thing when you wake up, you know what to do. The phone rings. You get a message from somebody, you're like, wow. And so it's to continue to build in this relationship, because it's an eternal relationship that you will always have as a team member. See yourself as a team player. You know, you're a part of something bigger. So you're willing to, you know, be a good sportsman, we'll say. You know, it's good sportsmanship to be willing to play, and knowing that instructions come so that you know what's you know what to do, what's required. But they will always support you. They will nurture you. They want you to grow, even as a human being. They want you to evolve. So they can personally assist as well, you know, down to, you know, what's the best thing for dinner tonight kind of thing. It can be very simple, as very much as simple as that. And so what their suggestion is at this time, and this is what they feel is most important at this time, is to listen. They are asking for humility. They are asking for the ability to listen, and without judgment, to truly listen without judgment, truly hear, really hear, and being quiet enough to be able to really empath. It's an empathic thing because, again, you're being healed in many ways at the same time, so that you become more open, because it's absolutely, absolutely important to be open. And that openness goes along with the humility. It's like, okay, all right, you know, here we go. And the willingness to dive to where it's required, knowing that there's always going to be a rope to catch you, or, you know, there's always a safety net. There's always something there that will be a support. And it is always arriving. There's always new, and it's always arriving. And so, you know, even when you feel, you know, but I don't know how, that is important to surrender. It's absolutely, absolutely important to surrender, because the details, or the, you know, the recipe, so to speak, of how much flour do we put in and how much sugar, that comes in a very magical way, and it is made obvious. If you really need to get something, they're going to make it very obvious. They're going to flash a phone number, or they're going to flash a repeated message, or a name, and it will be, they will make sure, and they'll do everything they can. But again, it's about, am I willing? You know, am I willing then? And then the message comes. Am I then truly willing to serve? And the service, I know, to this planet is one of, it's really a gift. It's an honor to be of service. It truly is a gift, and really should be seen as something honorable, that there's a dignity in it, that, wow, to truly, you know, that I'm so honored that I would even be able to serve this population, to have a dignity and a respect to others and character, and to really respect dignity, because we also are human. And so there is a certain honor of that, an honor of our beingness, and a respect is very, very, very important. And you will feel better. Actually, you'll feel better about yourself. You will feel healthier. You will feel good, because we know deep down everything that we do. And we know, really, if we're honest enough, we really know the truth. We all know the truth. We just, again, get quiet enough to be willing to listen. We do all know the truth. And so truly what we give is what we get back. So if we truly are holding that dignity, and again, the humility to be an example, that it's an honor to be a messenger. It is an honor to be able to serve. You will feel healthier, and you will feel good, because it's all within. And so your good feelings, or, you know, your feelings of respect, will actually cause you to feel healthier in your being, and feel like, you know, I really do love myself, because I know that I'm truly caring. You know, I know that I truly am doing the best I can. And that generates, actually, the energy that brings you to the vibration where you can attract them in the miracles. You see? It's because it's healthiness. And that energy is what calls in good things. So then all of a sudden, healthier people start to come into your life. You're attracting in people that are loving. You're attracting in people that are supportive. And you're going through, you know, your own inner process of awakening to the self-love, and to truly realize that the love that you have, it's like if you truly, truly love yourself, truly adore yourself, you know, you wouldn't want pain. Okay, and there may be a learning in that, but you wouldn't put yourself in a situation that didn't feel good. Okay, so that takes, again, healthiness, and the requirement is to, again, feel. It's an absolute requirement to feel. And then when you really feel, again, we talked about that empathic piece, then you'll really sit quietly and feel into it and say, no, I want goodness. I want good stuff. I want a healthy marriage. I desire freedom. And it's a process that occurs, that as you sort of loosen up a bit, you know, because you actually become, as you're freeing, you're starting to loosen up a bit. So you will lighten up. You will literally lighten up, become lighter, become more whimsical, become more humorous. You'll become more playful and joyful. And you will find that there's a lightness in it. So literally means that, lighten up. And get into that state that is happy, and it truly is a joyful state. And then when you're in that joyful, wonderful state, that's when you're, you know, skipping down the road and someone runs past you and says, I love you. You know, it's really that organic. And now you're living and feeling, and there's so much bliss in that. Just so much bliss in that, where you are feeling honored now. Like, wow, I am being honored. I am seen. I am taken care of. So the marriage energy that comes in multiple levels, and think of it as just a wonderful cosmic kind of relationship, okay, that you're in a state of being where heaven provides, okay? There is provision. So if it means making requests, then you might need to start out that way. But demands are not always answered. And it's important to know that because there's, again, a respect. So we're making some gentle requests. And realizing that you are being provided for. It's like already knowing you are being provided for. Just knowing it. Feeling into that. Knowing you are being provided for. That's, again, where the magic comes in because it's a vibrational shift. And when you're vibrating in love, you're vibrating in a state of being that is going to attract more of that, you see? Because the frequency denotes that, and therefore that's the reflection, that's the mirror that's coming back, okay? And so it becomes more complementary. It becomes, again, that marriage becomes more of a partnership. It becomes where it feels good. Because marriage should feel good. It should be very healthy. And that there's a feeling of, wow, this is really, really good. This is really worth living. You know, this is awesome. So there's much personally that at this time, if you're just willing to hear some of these things, this personally, this information can help with the entire planetary movement because we are taking responsibility. So it's that personal responsibility of honoring yourself. That really truly is what responsibility is, and it doesn't mean sacrifice. It truly means honoring you and what your needs are. You know, not what your lacks are, but what do I need right now? What do I desire right now? And if you make a commitment in your heart and are willing to move into that authenticity, because it truly is, it's more of your authentic self, and it can express in multiple ways. There's not one set way. There's multiple expressions for creation, multiple. A potter at the wheel, and a gardener, and a cook, and a fashion designer. This is all expression. So whatever sings for you would be that dance. And so just being willing to, you know, be the potter with the clay and working again as a team. Remember, it's a team, so that you're always surrounded by this wonderful absorbent light. The magic begins to happen, and as we just open our eyes and move up to this, heaven is here. Heaven is already here. So it's really allowing it, you see. It truly is allowing it. And to be healthy and discerning. You know, discernment is also required to, again, follow that empathic guidance of intuition, the intuitive sense, and being free, because there is a freedom that will come. You will feel at times like I am, you know, just expanded and, you know, into the state of eternity. And just keep allowing it, keep allowing it, keep allowing it. And guidance simply requests that we share. And the sharing is simply just love, giving, you know. This funny song keeps coming in from the angels, and it's "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." And you probably have heard that. But that song has literally come in. You know, a lot of times they will download music, And I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I mean, it's just a completely pure love. And there's a magic in that, and that's where you will begin to collaborate then with the children, because this is where the children are. And they are the ones, they are the leaders in the new age. The children are it. So you will bring you in their vibration, which is inclusive. They do not segregate or, you know, you're not included kind of thing. They are inclusive, and they want everyone in the sandbox together. This is when they're still very much innocent and you know, still in their heart. It's all about including. And so it's about being inclusive and about being real and truly being sincere, because there's also a level of sincerity. It will be detected. So, you know, you're really coming from, I want to serve the good of all. I mean, I truly want to give. So thank you so much for listening in tonight and for being here and for sharing your hearts. And, you know, just in the beginning of some massive shifts coming in, but the Company of Heaven asked me to share more things that would help you personally at this time. Again, my name is Michelle Denman, and my website is Michelle Denman. It's MichelleDenman.com, and you can read more about me there. And I will be in some upcoming television shows soon. And it's just so nice to connect with all of you in heart and purity. And if you have any questions or ideas, please do not hesitate to email me at MichelleDenman@earthlink.net. Thanks so much for tuning in, and have a wonderful evening. Aho, and so it is.